Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Because everything starts with a thought. Everything. Everything starts with a thought. You married people, come on somebody. It started with a thought. She's cute. Come on somebody. Amen. Started with a thought, right? When you're like, I think I'm going to marry her. It started with a thought. I think we should have children. It started with a thought. I think I should go to church tonight on Wednesday. It started with a thought. But at the same time, the flip side, even the negative starts with a thought. A person who has an affair starts with a thought. A person who decides to get high starts with a thought. A person who decides to do something that is opposite of God's will, where does it start? If you can understand and control the thought life, you can therefore begin to understand and control the decisions that you make. And so we're going to talk about how to overcome some of these monsters that try to live in our mind, and we're going to clean house. Come on, somebody. Give God a clap, because we're going to clean house in our mind. Amen? And so if you got your Bibles, I want you to go into the book of Ephesians, and we're going to read out of verse number 20 through 24. And we're going to talk about these mind monsters, and you know, it's just a catchy term there. These mind monsters that try to live in our mind, and if again, you're in this place saying, "Oh my goodness, they're talking about monsters. They're not real." Praise the Lord. The point is, sometimes we think things are real that are not real. Someone say, "Amen." The fear is not real. The doubt is not real. I'll tell you what's real. God's real. Come on now. And so we're going to talk about these things, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. If you're there, say, "I'm there." And if you got your Bible, turn with me there. If you don't have a Bible, that's cool. It's on the screens for you. And if you need a Bible, we'll give you one after service. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4, 20, the scriptures read like this. Paul the apostle writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "But that isn't what you learned about Christ." They were trying to indoctrinate God's people with something that was contrary to what God was trying to teach us. And if you don't have to, you don't got to look very far to realize that we live in a culture that tries to tell you something else about life. But we didn't learn that in Christ. In Christ, God taught us something different. Verse 21 says, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from who? Him." Verse 22, the Bible says, "Throw off your old sinful nature." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Throw it off." Just, and tell him, "Let it go. Let it go. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception." It's corrupted. The old self, the old me, the way I used to think, the way I used to act, that's corrupted. It's messed up. I got to let go of the ghetto and embrace the godly. Say amen. Verse 33, it says, "Instead," someone say, "Instead." He says, "Let the Spirit," notice capital S, because it's talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? It's not talking about spirit fingers. Come on, somebody. It's not talking about a human emotion. It's not talking about a humanistic spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. "Let the Holy Spirit renew your" what? "Thoughts and attitudes." The Holy Spirit wants to renew our thoughts and our attitudes. It wants to give us a new way of how to view things. And the Bible then says in verse 24, "Put on the new nature, which is created to be like" who? "And truly righteous and holy." I want to talk to you tonight. The first monster that we want to come and attack tonight is called the monster called attitude. The monster called attitude. You ever dealt with someone with a bad attitude? Don't point. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Okay? You ever dealt with someone with a bad attitude? They can turn into a monster. Okay, we're going to talk about tonight how to deal with the monster called an attitude. Bow your head and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that the house of God can be fun, that, Lord, your word can be relevant and applicable in 2017, Lord. And so tonight we've gathered, Lord, not to hear the words of man, but to hear the word of God. And so, Holy Spirit, you speak, Father, be the voice within the voice. Allow me the grace to teach your people and everyone, Father, who would listen to this teaching, Lord. Let it be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Renew our thoughts. Renew our attitude, Lord. Some of us in this room, we need our attitude renewed, Father. We thank you for this. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Somebody who loves God say, amen. Come on, give God one more clap. You may be seated and just tell your neighbor, Just tell them, say this. Say, you need a checkup from the neck up. Say that. Say, a checkup from the neck up. Thank God we came to church. Tell them that. Thank God we came to church. Welcome all those who will watch us on our program, A Heart After God, and those who listen to this via podcast. You're in the room with us. Amen. Sometimes church feels that way. God, give me a checkup from the neck up. Because we absolutely need to realize that. Today I want to talk to you as we start this series, Mind Monsters. I want to talk about this monster called attitude. Because attitude is something that in life is very important. And I jokingly said this, but you ever met someone with a bad attitude? Okay. All right. Let's all be honest. Yep. Okay. Did you come with someone with a bad attitude? I'm joking. Come on, somebody. Amen. Are you sitting next to somebody with a... No. Don't get in a fight. All right. Okay. I'm sure you have. It changes a person. I mean, this person, when they get a bad attitude, they go from cute to crazy. Hello, talk to me, all right? Like, this monster will come into someone's life, and if we're all honest, it doesn't take a lot to go from good to bad. I mean, you could be having a great day, and then you stub your toe, and all of a sudden, it's like the T-Rex came out. You know? It doesn't take a whole lot to go for this monster called attitude to really bring out the worst in a person. I mean, you can be on your way to church. You could be dressed, ready to go. You got your sermon ready. You got your clothes ready. The kids are in the car, and then your dog runs out the door. I'm preaching to myself right now. Come on, somebody. You're like, you crazy dog. Ah! You know? It doesn't take a lot sometimes. You know, you could be on the freeway. Listen, you could be having the greatest day, and then something will try to come in. And this monster called attitude starts to mess sometimes with our life. You see, attitude is so important. Attitude will literally, the way we manage our attitude will either bring the monster out of us or it'll bring the man of God out of you. The way we handle our attitude will bring out the monster out of you ladies or the woman of God out of you. This thing called attitude is very important. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. Because on the flip side, have you ever met someone with just a great attitude? Come on, man, that wasn't a good, yes, as good as the bad attitude. Have you not met someone with a good attitude? Praise the Lord. I said, have you ever met someone with a good attitude? You're like, yes, amen. Well, you know, we've all met someone with a bad attitude, but on the flip side, if you ever meet someone with a good attitude, I mean, they are awesome to be around. I mean, I know sometimes they get on your nerves, you're like, man, nothing gets you down. Well, no, come on, somebody, I got a good attitude. You know, someone that has a positive attitude in my life that has always been, you know, an anchor in my life is my mom. I mean, if there was someone who had the right to have a bad attitude, I would nominate my mother, who my father left her with 5 children, who had to work 2 jobs to still be half broke, okay? My mom, who was on Section 8 housing, oftentimes, you know, was not able to give us the things that she wanted to give us, who, you know, we were so poor, we could not afford the R, we were po, come on, somebody. I mean, we didn't have, you know, hand-me-downs. We had like hand-me-downs, okay? And so, you know, if there's someone else, my mom, but I just always remember my mom having a positive attitude. Always just say, you know what, Mio, it's okay. My mom sometimes was so positive sometimes that it would cause her to be generous with her attitude and with her life when I wanted to be upset for her. I like wanted her to have a bad attitude. Mom, you should be mad. You should like let it out. She says, no, Mio, God's with us. No, it's going to work out. No. It doesn't matter if that's how your father has chosen to live. This is how we are choosing to live. And we're going to come outside of this. And come on, someone ought to clap. Like you ought to just clap for the people in your life that have a good attitude. Amen. Attitude is powerful. It is a very powerful thing. And to be quite honest with you, there's not oftentimes a lot of message on this thing called attitude. We talk about things like holiness, and we'll talk about things like strength. But the truth is, a lot of our life will be dictated by our attitude. You know, we hear humanistic words sometimes, you know, have a positive attitude, and positive attitude is great. I mean, it's better than a negative attitude. Come on, somebody. But I believe that as believers, it's not so much having a positive attitude that we're called to have. We are called to have a Christ attitude. Say amen. Because the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let me show you this, okay? Because as believers, God is concerned about our attitude. That the Bible literally says this. Let's all read it together on the screens. Like we're a big, happy family. And we're having a family devotion tonight. And let's say it on the count. Ready? 1, 2, and 3. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus has. Now just look at your neighbor and smile. The Bible tells us, some of you smiled, it like hurt you to smile right now. It's okay. I know you had a tough day. Let a good attitude out, all right? The Bible tells us, now let me teach here, okay? I love to preach, but let me lay down a foundation. The Bible is telling us what type of attitude we should have. Because a lot of times it'll be like, hey, have a be positive, have a positive attitude. And that's great. I'm not belittling those type of statements. But the truth is the Bible doesn't tell us just to have a humanistic type of positive, you know, laissez-faire, everything's just going to be okay. You know, but the Bible is telling us that no, the attitude that you and I should seek to achieve, the attitude that we should seek to have is I want to have the same attitude that Jesus had. That the Bible tells us that our mentality, our thinking, our perspective, the way I wake up in the morning, the way I go to bed at night, is that my attitude to be the very same as Jesus Christ. Now, I love this because if the Bible says that my attitude should be like Jesus, then that means I can't have an attitude like Jesus. Now, imagine if you had the same attitude of Jesus, how that would change your marriage, how that would change your family, how that would change, come on somebody, how that would change the things that operate in your friendships. Imagine, let's just be honest. Imagine how tomorrow it would be different. You think, how would Jesus, remember this old saying, WWJD? Okay. What would Jesus do? But I'm gonna change it. WWJT, not Justin Timberlake. What would Jesus think? What would Jesus think? Because that's what the Bible says. What would Jesus think? Because everything starts with a thought. So when I'm going through my day, as a mature believer, it's not only what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus think? So when I'm driving in the car and I'm thinking about my day, I'm thinking about how that person got on my nerves. I know not you, but pray for all those that do think that. Don't look at me with those holy eyes. And you start thinking how this person said this and this person posted that about you and how this person over here has not done what you wanted them to do. And you're thinking our mentality strikes me, what would Jesus think right now? Because I am to have, the Bible says, the same attitude as Christ Jesus. You see, your attitude and my attitude will either be a friend to us or it'll be your worst enemy. Your attitude will actually even determine the levels of influence you will reach in life is directly connected to your attitude. For those that are managers and business owners, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Because I don't care how talented that person is, if they got a bad attitude, how many of you are like, I'm hiring somebody else? Come on, say amen. And so as believers, this is so important. It will put a lid over your life if you let this monster control your attitude. You will always be able to find a job, but never wonder why you can't get promoted. You'll wonder why, how come I can meet the right person, but I can never work out my relationship? I'm preaching. I don't know who I'm talking to. You'll always question, say, why is it that I find a good church, but some way it gets on my nerves after so long? The church is still good. It's just, come on, somebody. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. I'll take the two amens. I know. Amen. It's hard to say amen when I'm stepping on your toes. Okay. Some will say a good attitude. Attitude will determine, we've all heard this saying, your altitude. Okay? It will determine your altitude. And it's not, listen, the Bible says this, okay? For everybody rips off the Bible, believe me, they all rip off the Bible, okay? The Bible says, go the second mile. Jesus said in the book of John, it says, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. They rip Jesus off, okay? Everybody ripping Jesus off, all right? Just tell your neighbor, say, it's all in the Bible. Say, it's all in the Bible, all right? But attitude, it'll allow us to literally either have a lid or it will take the lid off by allowing us to do this. So what is attitude? Let me give you a definition kind of what is attitude as I'm talking about this word attitude. Attitude is the way you view life. Attitude is the mental framework in which you will develop your opinion about something or someone. Your attitude is your viewpoint. Your attitude is your perspective. Your attitude is your mindset. It is your paradigm. Your attitude is your narrative about what happens when something happens. Your attitude is how you interpret life experiences. Your attitude is the lens in which you will see things in your life. Attitude is very, very important. Your attitude will either make you or it will break you. Your attitude will either heal you or it will hurt you. Your attitude will either help you make friends in life or you'll make tons of enemies in life. Your attitude will either make you happy or it'll make you miserable. Your attitude will give you success or it'll lead you to failure. Your attitude is important. And is there anybody on this Wednesday night that wants to get their attitude in line? Say amen. Come on now. All right. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, let me continue to propose this to you as if we were in a courtroom here, and how important is your thought life and your attitude. The Bible says, for as he thinks in his heart, what does the Bible say? So is he. That my thought life and my attitude will determine who I am. And so what forms our attitudes in life? And if you want to take notes, you can write this down, but different things that will form your attitude in life. Number one, this is just some opening thoughts as we're starting this series, but what forms your attitude are influences. So what influences you is forming your attitude. And so if you're looking up to the wrong person, you will start viewing things how they view things. Okay? Your influences. That's why you got to be careful who you hang around with. Because they will influence your attitude. Because they'll be like, you know, I hate French fries. You're like, you know, me too. Even though you don't hate French fries. But you're saying that because you're letting yourself be influenced. You know, they'll say, you know, I don't like you know, the heat. I don't like the heat either, but you love the heat, okay? Your influences are very, you got to be very careful. Now, those are very vague, very simplistic things, but also the wrong influence will influence bigger things like how you view God. Because one person will tell you, you know, church is all this and all that. And you're like, really? Okay, maybe it is. And you're starting to view that because they view it that way. Your influences will affect your attitude. And we live in a social media world. You got to even be careful who you follow. I'll say it again. You better be careful who you follow. I'll take the two amens, all right? You better be careful who you befriend on Facebook. It's just the truth. I'm serious. Because half of the stuff on Facebook ain't helping your attitude. Oh, Jesus, I went to Facebook. Pray for me. I'm all up in your virtual world now, too. No, Pastor, you are not allowed on my Facebook. Praise the Lord. I'm dead serious. Some of you got to press that unfriend, unfollow button. Because you're waking up in the morning and it's framing your attitude for the day. Because instead of reading your attitude from Christ's word, you're grabbing your attitude from someone's negativity. Oh, Jesus. Life sucks. Unfriend. God bless you. It's just real talk, you know, because you start following people and you don't realize, but you begin to read that more than you're reading the word, and you wonder why those words are in your mind. Can I go a little more? Okay, let me tell you how church works. The more you say amen, the quicker this message goes, because then I know you got it. If you don't say amen, I don't think you got it. I just keep preaching on it, okay? So there's a little secret for preachers, okay? So now everybody's like, amen, amen, amen. We can speed this up. Come on, let's just get this over in 10 minutes. All right. Sorry. All right. Where was I? That's where I was. Okay. It is so important. I believe that when we get to heaven, that social media for our generation is going to prove that we did have the time to read. It's going to prove. God, I didn't have the time to read what your thoughts were, your word was. God's like, well, we took a tally of how much you read people's posts. And it turns out that you did have time to read. But instead of reading my thoughts and what I posted for you, you read somebody else's thoughts, lies, negativity, and you always wondered why you were influenced with a bad attitude. Anybody in this house want to say, I want the attitude of Christ, and I'm going to get his word in my heart? Just say amen and give God a shout. Come on, somebody. Amen. Tell three people, say, check your attitude. Tell them that. Say, check your attitude. Check your attitude, all right? So I mean, that's my first point. Lord, help me. So what frames our attitude are influences. And you have to monitor your influences. I'm serious. Listen, you love all people. Like, you should love all people, but not all people should be speaking in your life. Man, I just feel like preaching tonight. Lord, help me. Okay, not everyone should have a voice into your life. Not everyone should have access into your world. Who told you that? Who told you that everyone should be speaking something in your life? Because just because someone says it doesn't mean it's true. Because you start, we'll read what people say and we think it's true because they said it. It sounded smart. And the devil is pretty smart. Right? Just because, no, I have to guard my life, because the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, how is doubt gonna come? Come on. So when you read something, you're actually saying it to yourself. It's in your thoughts. And so you gotta guard your ear. You gotta guard your ear gate. I gotta guard what I read. I gotta guard, you know, I have to, because man, I gotta make sure, man, I'm fighting enough devils. I ain't trying to fight somebody else. Come on, somebody, amen. All right, I'll leave that alone. Next one. How else do you form your attitude? By influences, and you also form attitudes by things that are passed down to you, okay? And so things that are passed down to you through family, you know, they'll pass down to you these attitudes. You know, your parents will pass down to you perhaps a negative attitude. Perhaps you have negative parents, and okay, I'm not asking you to put them on blast right now. You're like, amen, okay, somebody, but perhaps you grew up with negative parents. Like, they were so negative. I mean, as soon as anything happened, they were the first ones to tell you, that's not going to work. You know? That's not going to happen. Maybe they always shot down your dreams, your aspirations. Maybe they always, you know, the crabology, they always pulled you back into the bucket. They didn't let you get out of it, you know? And your parents sometimes will pass on these negative attitudes to you. And you got to recognize those things, you know? You got to recognize how sometimes your parents will pass on to you negative attitudes, even prejudice. They'll pass on to you things that are not of God, but because they told you, now you think that's the way things are. And you got to rebuke those things. You got to say, no, the devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. That is not true about that type of people. I wish I got a better amen in this house. That is not true. What is true is, come on, somebody. I'm going to adopt the attitude of who? Jesus, okay? And so we got to understand that we got to reject these things and do it, because your attitude is... Write this down, point number one. I got to give you one point. That's why I went to church. I got a point. All right. Come on, somebody. Point number one. Here's everything. Attitude is everything, okay? Attitude is everything. And what I mean by everything, I'm not talking about salvation, okay? I'm not talking about eternal. I'm talking about when it comes to mind monsters, okay? Attitude in your mind is everything. If you cannot get beyond perspective, you and I, when we don't get beyond perspective, it will become our biggest detriment. It will eat up our future. It will eat up as soon as something happens. And if we are not able to control our attitude, control our thoughts, control our perspective, control our paradigm, control how we view it, then what will happen is just a matter of time that we start to think that God is not going to do what he said he was going to do. He's not who he said he is. And we'll begin to be overcome by this monster called a bad attitude, a negative attitude, a doubt attitude. But oh, if you could ever get the flip side. If you ever see, the devil has a hard time messing with people that have a faith attitude, that have a God attitude, a God can attitude. He's like, I don't know what to do with her. I don't know. Every time I attack her, she always trusts God, and she just won't let herself get into depression, because right when I think I got her, she grabs that thought, throws it out of her mind, and she keeps serving Jesus. I can't mess with her. I can't mess with him. Because we grab these things and we do it. And so the Bible tells us. Now, the good news is, I want you to write this down somewhere. Attitude is everything. But you have 100% control over your attitude. 100% control over your attitude. Nobody else should control your attitude. Not your spouse, not your job, not your circumstance, not your health, not your condition, not the devil. Come on, somebody. You have control over your attitude, and you have to realize that God gave you that dominion. He gave you that authority that I can choose. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice is a choice. So I can choose rejoice. I can choose the Christ attitude. I can choose it. Nobody gets to choose my attitude. I choose my attitude. But if I adopt a victim mentality, and if I adopt a passivity, and I adopt it's everybody else's fault, I'll say the reason I'm mad is because of her, and the reason that you brought the ugly monster out of me, you should be ashamed of yourself, because that's the reason you brought that on yourself. You shouldn't have said it. It's your fault. That's why I went ghetto, because you went there. I'm looking over here because I don't want to look at anybody thinking. You know what I'm saying? It's your fault. You brought the lion out, you know? You know, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. We have to have control over attitude, because that once this monster comes over us, did you know that prisons are full of people who lost it just for a minute? Full. They didn't lose it their whole life. They just lost it for a minute. Something got them so fired up. And now they're sitting in a cell because they weren't able to control this monster. But that's why the scripture says, someone say the Bible says. The Bible says, how do I handle this old sinful? Bible says, throw it off. Just go like this. Come on, just throw it off. The Bible says, throw it off your old sinful nature. Don't even play with it. Don't even allow yourself to walk down that dark road. Don't even allow yourself to turn into the Hulk, Bruce Banner. Don't even allow yourself. You know, you got to right away say, I'm going to let it roll off, water off a duck's back. I don't want to bring out because I'm no longer that guy I used to be. I'm not in the barrio no more. I'm not that guy anymore. I used to be that guy who'd get upset on a death. I used to be that person, but now you know what? Christ is in me, and I may not be perfect, but one thing I do know, that I'm going to control my attitude, because if I allow myself to get into a negative, bad, angry attitude, I will become the very thing I said I would never be, and I don't want to lose it. I want to win in this thing called life, and I want to build my faith. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Tell your neighbor, you say, you have control over your attitude. Tell them, you have control over your attitude. So the Bible says, throw off the old sinful nature of your former life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Now, if I had more time, which I do, I got like 30, 40 minutes. I'm just joking. Lust and deception. What throws us off is lust and deception. Okay. Lust is a self-pleasing. Okay. Lust isn't in it to please anybody else but themselves. The Bible says that what gets us into the old way is because we want to please ourselves. Okay. Whether we realize it or not, having a negative attitude or a bad attitude is a self-pleasing. It makes me happy to be angry. It makes me happy to get revenge. It makes me feel good to just... So when the Bible says lust, you're like, well, I'm not like lusting over stuff. No, it's that you're actually looking to please yourself. And that's the gateway to your old self, because that's how you used to live, just to please yourself. But now we don't live like that no more. We live to please God. So I react not on what's going to please me. I'm going to react on what pleases God. And it won't please God if I turn into the old version of me. Some will say amen. Now the Bible says, and deception. Deception is a scary thing. Because the thing about deception is you often don't know when you're being deceived. Okay. See, that's a scary one. Because a lot of people don't even know that the devil has your strings. Because you haven't been awoken to it. You're being deceived. And you don't find out till later. Whoa! And the Bible says that our old life is corrupted by deception. And can I tell you the highest level of deception? It's one thing for someone to deceive you, but it's a whole nother thing when you deceive yourself. Self-deception is where you think that you are something else that you really are not. And you've all met someone like this. They think everything's good, and you're like, bro, it's not good. They're self-deceived. She thinks it's okay to live that way, to treat her family, her future, her calling. She thinks it's all good, and you're like, it's not all good. And so they're being self-deceived. And so how do you throw it off? Is you've got to realize, number one, I am not going to allow myself to deceive myself or to pretend like nothing is wrong. I'm going to allow someone to speak into my life. This is why connect groups are important. This is why having, you know, a true friend who will tell you the truth, tell me where in my life needs to get better. But it's like, no, nobody tells me. I got it all under control. You're deceived. You're deceived. You're deceived. Because we all need someone to speak into our lives and to build us into becoming men and women, oh Jesus, help me, and to sharpen us, amen. Because we all have, oh Lord, help me, okay, we all have multiple levels of who we are, okay, and there, you know, it's like a car. There's what you can see about yourself, but everyone has a blind side. That's where this blind side is, where you can't see it, but other people can see it. Every person has a blind side. And you don't even realize, but there's this big old truck right here. It's all good. But the truth is, it's going to take you out. That's why we got to be like, speaking to my life, Lord, speaking to my life. You ought to be able to, that's why you ought to be able to have a connect group where you could be open. And again, you know, it doesn't talk about throwing your laundry out there and all, but it's basically saying, hey, you know, what do you see? And someone might tell you, because see, and this is hard, especially not only for guys, but for girls. This is hard because we don't want anybody to tell us that. They're like, just lie to me. I'm awesome. Good. Yeah. But that's not helping you. But someone might tell you, say, hey, you know, you're just really negative sometimes. What? No, I'm not. You're really snappy. Never. All right. No, you're not. My bad. Sorry about that. All right. This is a leadership quality. Even Jesus, listen, even Jesus told his disciples, who do people say that I am? He was open to feedback. Like some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're a good teacher. Some people, all right, cool. That's what they're saying about me on the streets. Cool. But see, we're so insecure. We can't even accept. What do you think about me? This is why a lot of marriages or a lot of relationships don't get better. It's because we're not open to just speaking in my life. Come on, somebody. Help us, Jesus. I don't know who I'm helping, but I pray that's helping somebody tonight. Say amen. All right? The Bible says that, you know, we are to put on. Someone say put on. It says the godly nature, or put on, you know, the new nature. But in verse 23, it says, instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Okay, let me tie this up on this first point. We'll continue it next week. But how do I get rid of a bad attitude, Pastor Josiah? How do I heal this? Because you're right. I have a hard time controlling my attitude. I go monster real quick. How you do it is in this scripture. The Bible says, instead. Someone say instead. Meaning there's a choice. It says, let the Spirit, notice what it says here, renew, okay? It didn't say replace. It didn't say remove. It said renew. Because see, sometimes we're like, God, just take it all away. And God's like, no, I don't want to just remove it. I'm going to renew it, and I'm going to show you how to use it in the proper way so that your attitude won't be holding you back, but your attitude will catapult you forward. Oh, come on, somebody, say amen. I'm going to renew the way you use your attitude. I'm going to renew it. In other words, I'm going to teach you the right way how to use your attitude. And so what do I do when I have problems with my attitude? I got to come to God and say, God, teach me how to use this thing called attitude. Because this thing called attitude has been defeating me at 6 a.m. in the morning. It's been defeating me on my way home from work. It's been defeating me when I'm reading stuff. It's been defeating me when I turn on the news. My attitude has been defeating me when I think about my past, when I think about my mistakes. My attitude, God, has just ruined my life. And God, I come to you. I'm here on this Wednesday night. I'm here, Father, reading your word. And I'm asking you, God, teach me how to use this thing called attitude. And how do you use this thing called attitude? The first thing is this. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so what you got to have, number one, is you got to adopt a can-do attitude. Someone say can-do. Attitude. And so we've got to begin to say, Lord, I'm going to drop my can-do attitude, and I'm going to adopt a can-do attitude. And if God, if you can do it, I could do it. And if you come in my life, you'll give me the strength to control, come on somebody, this negativity in Jesus' mighty name. Someone give God a clap. Come on. Stand to your feet and let me pray for you tonight.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For more information about Freedom House Church, visit us at thefreedomhouse.org.